Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I'd like to welcome you to the Age of Heroes. And as we focus on the Elysium Project, our eye will be on Northern New Jersey with Bill Waitman. Greetings and welcome, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
So we're living in a very extreme and busy time. It seems like the amount of information and the amount of things happening at any given time has gotten difficult to even keep track of. And it's become very clear that we need election reform. So I decided to dedicate myself to that. And I'm going to learn a lot from you by looking at that topic in part tonight.
That's always my dog. I'm a big fan of Thomas Paine. I mean, I followed his career. I've read all his documents. I remember one classic line: "These are the times that try men's hearts and souls." I may not have gotten that perfect, but Thomas Paine, he sold almost 500,000 of his pamphlets when he wrote them. He wound up with almost three revolutions. I mean, the U.S. Revolutionary War really wasn't a typical revolution in the way that it wasn't a class action so much. The French Revolution, which almost killed him, he sided with the French revolutionaries. In the end, he weakened, or maybe he had a sense of heart, because he tried to spare King Louis and his wife, and then he turned on him. So he fled to the U.S. and he got sick. He died. He was buried, I think, on one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence yard, and somebody dug up the bones. Yeah, but these are the times. What we've seen, Hercules, in the past few, and this was a man who never should have been elected president. The Republican Party should have had more smarts. You know, I want to just make one comment for sure. I know that we need a conservative party. We can't have just one party with maybe have some conservative Democrats in it, which picked up some conservative Republicans via the Lincoln Project and some of the other things. But we do need a project. I would say on Facebook and LinkedIn, I would note that the Republicans should go back to the original people of the Whigs, and I regret that, because in hindsight I realized that we do need a conservative party that pulls everything together. But conservatives that make sense, you know, you and I grew up, possibly you. I did during the civil rights movements of LBJ and first of all, JFK. And Johnson reached out to Republicans in the North, and he knew he would lose the South to Democrats with the programs they put forward, which helped save lives and provided school children with lunches and a whole slew of projects. He knew the value of having Republicans that he could deal with. And I'm sure that Biden's trying as hard as he can to get Republicans to deal with him.
Influence. He said that many times, that he wants unity. He wants us to move past all this stuff and to think of ourselves as Americans again, not Democrats or Republicans, not red and blue, but as Americans, as people.
And he's 100% right on that. I am so impressed with him. I mean, people are criticizing him on all sides of the map in the Democratic Party. But I think he's made some fine picks in his cabinet. He stands out against this is a cabinet of people that can think, walk, talk, and have knowledge of everything. I think the choice of a vice president in the long run has proved to be one of the most best choices I've ever heard of. He's really on the on the noggin, and I think she needs to have more of a role than she's going to have. I don't think she should be doing just celebrations or whatnot. This lady's got common compassion, common sense, and a lot of knowledge. So I hope she goes there. But I mean, at every level. I don't know if he'll be able to get his the one general in because of the 4 years that he hasn't been out of service or retirement for 7 years. The last administration, this outgoing administration, which had great generals, but I don't know if generals should be in they shouldn't be in charge of the Pentagon. That should be a regular person, male or female, with knowledge. You know, we don't need generals controlling the Pentagon and making decisions. We need a civilian doing that. And I think he's done that. Actually not. He put this one general that I'm talking about with 4 years. I don't know if a general should head an agency like that. I'm happy, though, with his picks. But we're facing a lot of danger. This president is totally inept. He has not responded to any, and people will say, you're partisan. No, I'm not that kind of partisan. My mother was Republican. She canceled out my father, a Democrat.
I know a lot of people that don't like that. One is a Democrat, one's Republican. So they do kind of cancel each other out. But still, they're entitled to their own way of looking at things, and their voice should be equally heard.
Oh, I agree. I listened to my mother. My mother would argue with me. She was a tough lady. I shouldn't say this, but my father said something nasty to her, and he was well known in our. I lived down the road from you in Richfield as a kid, I just pulled something down. But are you still there, Hercules?
I'm still here.
I'm in my computer room, but she put a bowl of potato salad in his face while she was driving. So that's a little humor. He never raised a hand to my mother, and he was 6'3". I relish that anyway. Everything that's going on, we have never seen anything as crazy as this. With maybe almost more than a third of the Republicans in Congress ready to do silly things and stage, they're looking for one Senate member to join them so they can call out this whole work. We've had Republican and Democratic governors in each state, and their election people in each state, no matter what party. I'm going to borrow your name for a second, Herculean efforts, honest efforts, and delivered an honest vote. And this nonsense, I've walked into groups, I've seen them in New Jersey, and I've seen them out of state. I've seen the poor boys. And it's a frightening look. Was it just not too long ago, after the things what happened with the vote, the final tallies, you had riots in Newark. And not Newark, Washington, D.C. And you had trouble in New York, not widely known. But there were a lot of beatings in Washington, D.C. By groups loyal to the president. And I don't know why he would attach himself to these kind of groups. We now know that I think there should be some kind of psychological test, if valid, for every presidential candidate. I mean, to be honest, Biden's, 78? I remember, and you remember probably from the Kennedy era, that Charles de Gaulle ruled until he was in his 80s. And they finally, the student revolution. I admired Charles de Gaulle. I mean, I thought he saved France in a lot of ways. from a lot of terror. But in the end, it was college students that drove him out of power. So we have strange things going on. We just skinned through this by maybe the edge of our teeth. We can't allow this to happen again. Everybody's saying it, but I don't see any safeguards to stop it from happening again. We were really just a length of a rope from really going into a quasi-dictatorship. And all the while this, can I talk about foreign policy for a second?
Sure.
You know, there's been numerous attacks on our system. And this president, and it came from Russia, this president has not done anything at all. He never opens his mouth. He's been yelling and screaming in the White House and sending out those crazy posts. And he hasn't made one comment on the recent theft of information from both our various agencies in the government, for various companies. This is serious business. This was the deepest hack of our software ever. And we know that we have other people doing. We know that Iran does it. We know that the North Koreans are trying to do it. Or heck, they tried to steal one of the things for the virus. I guess it was out of one of these two that we have now going online. This is crazy. This is crazy stuff that's going on. I've never seen anything. And I know that there were some Republicans that stood tall. But too many of them just drank the poison and went along with him. And I think if the Republican Party is to survive, and it must survive because we have a counterweight, it's hard for a Democratic liberal to say that who's run for office. But I feel that you have to have a counterweight. I mean, there were people going back, like I said, I remember Everett Dirksen. He was a key figure for LBJ's war on poverty. I knew President Kennedy's speechwriter, Sorensen, and I know one of the last things he wrote, he wasn't a fan of LBJ. I think secretly he believed, what he told me was he thought LBJ was part of the conspiracy to kill Kennedy. But he wrote one great speech for the Congress, for Johnson, for his war on poverty. And Johnson knew he wouldn't carry the South. So we went looking for Republicans. Always a need to get people. We need, you know, you're not far from a congressman, Gottheimer, who has won awards for being the guy that can get Republicans and Democrats together in Congress and push for some needed things. And I'm sure he's working his head off down here. He faced a tough run. The guy actually sounds like he's related to me on my really? Italian side. But we've gone through the worst. These have in part been, you know, the idea of the best of times and the worst of times. We've had a little bit of the worst of times, and we know that what we've seen cannot happen again. You know, or it will fail.
Somebody smarter than him. I agree. Our systems are holding, but they're frayed at the edges and they're strained. We have to do something different. And I'm discovering as I investigate this that there are inequities even in places where there isn't blatant attempts to affect the election by disenfranchising people, by preventing them from voting or making it very difficult. There's all sorts of things that need to be addressed. But still, even with all that, we had a system that, although not 100%, worked very well. And experts have said, and these experts were assigned by this administration, that this is the most accurate and safe election that we've ever had. So I don't understand why this continuously gets disputed and it keeps getting proven over and over and over again. But the barrage against it is endless. You know, we need to move on now. We need to, you know, just go into the future, not get stuck in this time loop where some people seem to be stuck.
I agree with you 100%, and I wish there were some changes. I hear people talking about the Second Amendment. But personally, I've seen groups like the Poor Boys, you know, marching down the street. And now I don't believe, for one thing, we know the example with the Michigan governor and the Virginia governor, who were both to be kidnapped and killed. There's something wrong with the Second Amendment has to be really looked at. I mean, it's ridiculous that people can go into polling areas with guns.
Right.
I don't see the point of that. You know, I was told by my sister that there are groups in Brooklyn called the Brown Shirts. And I tried to tell her, she voted for the president. I tried to tell her that Brown Shirts are a thing out of Germany. You know, these groups are adopting these kind of norms. And, you know, wish for Hitler. I consider myself lucky. I know I have a number of African-American friends. I mean, I've had one for 40 plus years. He basically saved my life. I mean, I was working in a factory not far from you in Lodi that blew up. And after I went home from that factory, my house burnt down. He went. I was doing the project with Jewish Vocational Services. It was a literacy project, and the thing was, the workers. It was a chemical factory on Main Street in Lodi. I don't know if you've ever been over to Lodi, but why
Not
would you
a
put a chemical? You know, and they five members were sitting on the up there with what they call the cooker, and they died. I came down with my wife. I got yelled at by some company because I used to do a lot of what I was doing at that company in Lodi was ESL. And he said, you got to come to my company because they would get free English as a second language training. I would do the testing. I developed the test so that it would give me grade levels and it really could show where the needs were. And I did the same thing in Atlantic City. But he yelled at me, and instead of going at, you know, be there at 11 to 3 in the morning, I came down about 6:30 to pick up my other car with my wife. She was a school teacher then. And I drove past the plant, and I said I could have been there. But anyway, after that, the guy that fixed my car, Ruben, he knew that. And I had a house fire right after that, burned to the ground. And a lot of people came to help me, but when I bought a new house, and he went to Jewish Vocational Service and got me beds. Too many mattresses.
Oh, good.
But it was a glowing
memory. That's something I have to say, that we have a world full of people who are willing to help other people. And not just the people close to them, not only their immediate household, their family, their local community, or their group, their larger group, however they define themselves in the world, but to help everybody. So we're very fortunate that generous, giving, charitable impulse exists within people. So I'm glad it was there for you when you needed it.
You know, Eric, I'm going to go a little further. I was a Democrat. I worked in Trenton. I did a lot of things down there. I worked with people in Michigan and other states. I spent a lot of time in the auto industry in Michigan and in New Jersey. We lost those plants in New Jersey, but we tried, you know, Japanese methods where workers actually made discoveries, and they were rewarded for their discoveries, like a Ford plant that had both a Mazda truck going down and an F-10. And I learned just by that, learning that model in a worldwide situation. But anyway, we've seen that this period of hate. We can't ever let this come back.
No.
And I don't know what we do with groups that are out there that are armed. I mean, kidnapping a governor or attempting to kidnap a governor seems to be written to kill her. For what? She was only enforcing rules that try to keep people alive.
People alive.
Wear a mask. I got to tell you, I've been down in Florida, and they still, people still, like, take a Walmart. You know, they have signs. No, they don't enforce them, but people walk in there with no masks. It's crazy. This state's been up there with thousands of deaths. I mean, constantly. New Jersey, actually, I what I understand is a lot of people from this area, from Florida, go up to New Jersey, come back to Florida, go back up, and they're bringing the virus with them.
New Jersey
took off like a rocket, you know, and New York too. I thought Cuomo was an inspiration for a while. He lost the Supreme Court case, but sometimes you have to take precautions, even if it's religion. I know
right.
that there's. I have a my wife is Hispanic. Her sister is, converted to Judaism. But they have 200 members come to a temple down there without masks. She's lucky she's alive. They don't understand. I mean, I hope she wore a mask. But, I understand the Supreme Court, freedom of religion. But these are one of these tricky issues. What is more important? Is it life? Or the opportunity to go to a church, people should go into a church or a synagogue or a mosque, and they should be prepared. You know, I happen to be Catholic. I go into a Catholic church. The church is roped off. And there's designated seats. They run extra masses. They have television masses, a lot of churches in New Jersey, and I believe some synagogues even in your county. As a matter of fact, as far as charitable, there are Jews in Bergen County that have taken Islamic people into their homes, you know, and I find that really applaudable. You know, that's something good. But I don't know. I sometimes think the Supreme Court does strange things, but I'm glad that it was unanimous. I mean, there were some questions by Clarence Thomas and another judge, but in the end, they came out unanimously. End some of this, to end all of it. I mean, it was just crazy. These were Republicans doing their jobs, Democrats doing their jobs. A governor in Georgia, he supported this president, and he's been taking it, you know, every day this guy's giving him attacking him.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. I don't expect this behavior from a president. I look back at the, you know, I remember Bush 1 and Bush 2. And I highly respected Bush 1. Going back, I remember Eisenhower as a little kid. I at times I respected Nixon on foreign policy. I didn't like some of his antics. But there's always been some Republicans that have stood out. I brought up the Kennedy speechwriter. Profiles in Courage has a number of Republicans in there for their work. Sometimes you don't agree with what they did, but McCain is there. He was one of the last picked. I don't know who, but more recently. But going back to the 30s and some of the early days of the Republican Party, Sorensen and Kennedy, you know, went through and picked Sam Houston, who wasn't, I don't know what his political affiliation, but he was against the Civil War. And they surrounded his mansion, the governor's mansion in Texas, and he was let out. I mean, he was always a hero in Texas. You know, they named the city after him. But, I've never seen – can I give you a person that I think is like this? It was Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr wanted to separate America for his own greed. He had been a vice president under – I don't know how many vice presidents Jefferson had – but he was under Jefferson, and we know that he killed Alexander Hamilton. But on the way out, he had this he was going to divide the nation in half, and I guess make himself the self ruler. And this is what this is about. This guy thinks he's a king. We don't have kings, and I'm surprised that in Congress I don't have the minority of people that came out and supported. Biden from the Republican Party wasn't astronomical. They were out, you know, almost more than a third were going to show up and vote in this this next segment. I'm hoping that Mitch there, you know, gets that done. But this could happen again. They were talking about secession. How ridiculous. This nation divided in part cannot survive. A house, was it Lincoln? Correct me on this. Was it Lincoln that said a house divided cannot stand.
I don't remember who said it, but it's a famous quote. I've heard it quoted a lot. I don't know if it's in the Bible or some politician said it, but it's true, regardless of where it came from.
So, I mean, we've gone through all this. I've never experienced anything like this. I mean, there were crooked elections in the late 1800s. A Democrat from New York was robbed of his chance. Gore, even more recently, Gore might have won that election. I have a home in that district, but it's crazy. I want to tell you that I wanted to vote in my own county, in Sussex County. I applied for the ballot in August to be sent. Do you know when I got it? 4 days before the election.
They
claimed that 4 or 5. You know what did it? I told them, you don't send me that ballot. And it's the county clerk. I know him. His brother was a mayor of a town that he lived in New York State. He lived in the town of Sussex Borough. I said, if you don't send me that paper, that ballot, it was the fourth time. I don't know whether it was the third time that reached me or not. I said, I'm going to put a full page ad. I know they'll publish it for the money. I said, I'm going to put a full page ad. That's a lot of money. In the 3 newspapers in that region. And the problem with the region, Hercules, and this is another issue I was going to reach out to tap into guy that we've had on your state on your radio before. But the problem up there and everywhere, your Bergen record, and I'm leaping all over the place. So I hope you don't mind. They run the same stories, sometimes the same editorials, as our local newspaper. And you as a kid and I as a kid might have listened to WMCA radio for music. The woman's father was the editor, and she owns this part. She owns a part of the New York Post. I don't know how she does that. But he was a great guy on MCA in the Beatle days, All American, whatever they were called. He did great editorials, and she's running these 20 newspapers, and she has part of the Post. And it sounds like they've gone over to in a way to the Bergen Record, the Daily Record, the paper over in almost all the newspapers. The Bergen Record has 20-something other papers that were once family-owned. And
yes, I remember.
You probably have the Bergen Record in your town. They cover, they go all over the county. And I think the Ledger, I don't know who owns it, the Ledger is the only independent paper in the state. And that's too few sources. If monopolies are to do anything, they need to break. You know who owns the all these papers? USA Today. And, they don't run the editorials or even the news cycles. But it's we're not getting all our information. Even if it's jaded to the Democrats or the Republicans, we're not getting our information. We made choices. I happen to read the Post, the New York Times. I look at my local paper in Sussex County, and I read the Wall Street Journal. And believe me, I picked up a section of the Wall Street Journal yesterday. I thought I was reading the Times. I'm saying the Times has gone totally conservative. It was talking about charity. And with that, I looked up and I said, oh, this is the New York Times. And they were saying left wing is ruining charities. I don't think by that. But in any event, that's one of the problems in this country is that there are too few newspapers. I mean,
right.
The whole state, Bergen Records, has the same stories as the Daily Record. And they mostly have, the voice of the people they share it. I want to hear what the people in Morris County have to say. I want to hear what the people in Hackensack and Bergen County want to say. They merged all these papers to one, and they're basically carrying sometimes the same news feeds. We're getting a lack of information. And who do you appeal to? Tap into... I like the guy. I've known him, but basically, it's the same thing. They have silly news. They were getting more informative, but people need to be informed. We didn't see this coming. We didn't see it coming until we were almost done.
We're flooded with information, and Also, it's not knowing what to trust anymore with information. There's so much suspicion about the information that even sources that normally we would consider reliable, now people are questioning them. And that, too, seems to be deliberate. So you're right. There's a lot of information. There's no way to judge it. And you have to start questioning where it's coming from and why it's coming from there. And that's something we're dealing with. We haven't solved that one yet. And it's wreaking havoc on not only our local society, but on our world. When I first started moving here as an adult, I lived here as a kid, too. But when I moved back as an adult, there were like two local newspapers in addition to the Bergen Record. And then there were, of course, all the newspapers from further afield. And they were different in tone and in content, like you said. But now the local papers seem to have gone. And there's just the bigger papers. And like you said, they don't represent a lot of different perspectives as much as they used to. But one of the sources pretends to be objective news. But if you track into its history, it's anything but objective news. They have a very, a distinct agenda that they're following. And it's easy to find with anybody with a computer, but you don't see that by reading that news. So it's very tricky. You need to be very alert, and you need to question everything.
I try to do that by reading different sources. I trust the Wall Street Journal for its reporting, but its editorials make no sense. I read the Times. God, Hercules, help me, because I know this guy real well. He's a Nobel Prize winner, and he writes for the Times. He's always on CNN. I have his books. I've met him. I took my wife to meet him at Princeton. But he writes for the Times. Now I can't remember his name.
No names. Better no names, no specific organizations. We'll just talk about trends and things that we need to think about.
Well, we need to go back to, in a way, Theodore Roosevelt was called the trust buster. We need to break up these monopolies. The thing that I want to get, and I've said this to you before, when the Bergen Record was family owned, the editor of the paper, the managing editor of the paper, had a drunk driving charge. What he did is he put it on the first page of the Record, and it's up 20 other papers. And, I knew the vice president of the Record because I did projects. I did literacy projects with the Record. I did mm-hmm. studies with the Record where I went into their printing press room to create tests for apprenticeship. Everything's changed now. It used to be local in Hackensack. If you drive down to Hackensack, the Record's gone. It's on Garrett Mountain, and they have a printing plant in Rockaway where they print other people's papers too. But it was, to me, a local paper. I did get an endorsement Record, but the vice president of the woman of personnel, she got me an endorsement from some local papers that were in our area. They're not really in our area anymore. There was actually a couple in Butler, New Jersey, which covered our area for swim meets because we're Lake region in Sussex County. That's kind of disappeared. They're focusing even on more local stories. This massive monopoly has all of them under their wings, and it's we need different tastes for different communities. I wish that somebody come in and would break them up. We have too many monopolies in America, and
we're starting to go after some of the monopolies. I've been following it a little bit online, but it seems like they're going after the bigger monopolies, like. They've gone after Google, they've gone after Facebook, they've gone after certain other ones as well. So that trend to allow for these monopolies might be shifting. because it's been happening, you know, a lot lately. So I don't know how that'll turn out, but it's very difficult when you have the monopolies running everything. And it does allow for this new culture that you were talking about, where there's like an increasing number, but a still small number of billionaires who have everything. And then a lot of people who have practically nothing. What you're describing should be done is being attempted by some people. So let's see how that goes.
I really hope so. I mean, I'm staring at a thing in the New York Times today, and I hear this over and over. This nut that owns Amazon, the CEO, constantly says this company will go bankrupt. Why? And if they break it up, maybe not. I don't see how a corporation like Amazon is going to go bankrupt. He keeps saying it. And Elon Musk is the same thing. They pick up and they move when they please. He's moving out of California. I don't know what California did. It must have ruffled his feathers. I've been in a Tesla, you know, one of the Teslas down south. They allow you to take them for a test drive. But monopolies are a bad thing. They always have been. They competition is good. It makes people, you know, compete and try to do better. And it keeps workers. We both know that we're just artificial intelligence is coming. And coders, for instance, are going to be replaced. That's a definite, because the things that are coming out can do it by themselves. They can write their own programs and whatnot. You know, we might see some of the Twilight Zone episodes repeated to us. You know, the one I remember the best is the guy's on some planet and he gets a woman robot, very pretty.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think he destroys her by some reason, or
at the end,
another one was
he realized that she wasn't truly alive. If I remember correctly, the story, she was the only company he had, and so he, in his imagination, she developed all these qualities, and then at the end, when he was leaving and he couldn't take her with him, I think he discovered that she did have limitations and that a lot of what he was feeling was from his imagination. I might not be remembering it right, but that's what I remember.
Believe it or not, it's still on TV. The Twilight Zone is still on TV. Somewhere in America, and I'm really drifting apart here. Gunsmoke, which I watched as a little kid, it's on in your area, because I watched it from my daughter's house. I said, wow, this show's still on? I am amazed at old TV, black and white and whatever. I Petticoat Junction, I never watched when I was a kid, but it was on. I don't know if they taught us values. I mean, I think Gunsmoke actually taught some values when I was a kid. But it's craziness. We're in – by the way, I should just switch a little bit. And the hospitals are now really moving pretty quick, or at least I don't know if we'll get our doses of medicine. But I saw that a hospital in Newark got a heavy dose for the staff and for some of the patients. The nursing homes in my area were decimated. So I don't know how many people are still in those nursing homes. I was hoping they would take them away from the three owners, because they were totally they were the same owners, by the way, for three nursing homes in Sussex County. But hopefully this nightmare, and this guy didn't do anything to help with this nightmare. Now he's trying to take credit and, for everything. He's moving in the last minute to make preparations for its delivery. Should get credit for Operation Warp Speed, whatever it is, but kind of this should never have reached this level, Hercules, of death. Never.
Right.
Governor said he told not to wear masks. As I said, I see people down here. It's wishy-washy because of a crazy governor. They're not wearing masks, and they're way up there. And for you in Jersey, what I've discovered, and for people in New York, is that there are people here that just drive up. There's no check. You know what? We were always told that there were checks. There were no checks. There are no checks at all. I don't know. Even in New Jersey, by Wayne, New Jersey. I would come all the way down 23, and I would see a sign by my daughter's house, that you must get yourself checked. Well, there weren't too many people coming down Route 23, maybe from Pennsylvania or someplace. But the highways between Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, those people are coming to and from, maybe even Virginia, are coming to and from. I mean, I just had a relative that had a wedding with 200 people. Now, just imagine them all going back to their areas if somebody carried that in there. Imagine the White House having all those things with no mask. What was he trying to prove? What was the issue?
I don't know.
And it seems horrible, but I think he deliberately wanted these numbers to go up. At one point,
I don't know. I can't fathom the motivation. People have speculated, and people have shared inside conversations, and but like with a lot of the information that we get, we don't know for sure. Some information seems to be misdirection. Some of it turns out to be true. So again, we're flooded with information, and like you said, AI is here. And AI is contributing toward all this. So it might be a robot plot.
That's right. I mean, we know companies like the one that's going bankrupt all the time. He's been claiming this at Amazon. It's not going to happen unless he wants it to. Tesla's not going to go bankrupt. What they do is they just – we need to – the old days of breaking up industry and having competition has gone by the wayside. And more, I think what we're going to both see, and I think your listeners are going to see, as more and more people that are working home, they're going to remain working at home. And that's going to be a divide for many people in this country. Because
right.
People that don't have those knowledges and abilities won't be able to do it. Think of a company. They say, wow, we should have thought of this a long time. We're paying so much, we're paying for the heat, the air conditioning, and everything else. Why don't we let them work at home and do
right.
it by computer? And it works. I mean, there's a lot of people. I had a guy, you've been to my office in Franklin. I had a guy that told me he was unemployed, and he told me that he had just lost his job. He would catch an airplane every day to Rhode Island, a seaplane.
Wow.
I don't know what he did in the – I don't know if there's anything – anything up there. That was the farthest commute I ever heard. But most people up there and Pennsylvania drive down to Morris, Bergen County, Essex County,
right.
and some go into the city, and some go right out to Long Island. It's a huge, you have to do what you have to do, the commute. In my area, the county is actually losing population. It went down about 20,000 schools closed in Vernon, which is one of our largest towns. But maybe close to 25,000, maybe a little more. Sparta, about 28,000, 30,000. I mean, the population of the county is about 130,000. That's a drop of about 15,000 people. So it's with AI, you're going to see more of this. The coders that we talked about, they're no longer going to be needed because the machines will take care of it themselves.
Yeah.
It's sad. And, there's a war going on, and the U.S. is behind China in so many ways in technology, with technology theft. And going back to, the White House, how many times were the Russians going to be allowed to steal our information? This last one as some people noted today, it's a declaration of war. I mean, this should not happen. And you've got, I think Biden actually –
Are you there, Bill?
I don't know what you missed, but I'm looking at Iran, and I know, they're pushing ahead with their nuclear program. But I think the young people in that country want to be tied to the West. Everything that tells me, I think the wars are futility. Israel and Iran are talking about war. One time, Iran sent weaponry to Israel. And Turkey did the same. They both time by Fairleigh Dickinson. Used to be a ton of Iranian students in Fairleigh. Ed Williams University. I don't know if that's still there. When the Shah went out of left, that kind of changed. I mean, he was brutal, but he did educate a large percentage of his population. They were in Hudson County in Jersey City. But I think that you have to woo some of these nations. And religion sometimes is becomes the opiate of the masses. I don't want anybody to get mad at me for using a Marxist term, but I think that the Iranian kids that I knew in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, were pretty different. You know, I was about their age then. I saw them in college, and we went astray. We were tied to an old regime that seemed to have been brutal. But it's a whole world. The world is really going to change. Africa is going through many problems, but they're looking towards their benefactor as China. And Latin America, China's been down there with their vaccine. There's a thing, there's a terminology created by a guy named Joseph Nye. I'm all over the place, and I brought it up to you. It's Nye created the term of that you help nations, you help yourselves.
Right.
I forget the term that he used, but it's things like the Peace Corps. You know, we don't see the Peace Corps promoted anymore. I mean, I don't know if they're still around or whatever. We had people going to countries doing different services and everything, teaching people to grow plants, avoid draft, provide water where there was none. And we seem to lose that effort in this last 4 years. It's greatly hastened. You know, you go around calling countries names like I won't say the word, SH word, nations. That's really rotten. We're supposed to be a country that reaches out. I had people, they must have thought more political power than I had. They were calling me from Algeria asking me, my brother is in the U.S. working as a carpenter. I want to come there. I said, I can't do anything. President has, you know, put limitations on your – I'm not that high of a person on the ladder of help to help you. They would call every day. I said they had a woman, they reached somebody that could have helped their immigration. But she was relying on me. I can't take anybody in. I have my son living with us in Sussex. And I have in the place that I have south, I'm going to leave to go home. I wish I could, you know, you wish in your life that you could do more than you can. That's why I reached in the Bergen Record when I was reading it heavily. I was amazed at the stories that Jewish people were taking people from Islamic countries into their homes. And other people were hiding immigrants, like in Dover. We forgot what we're out. Sometimes immigration is a positive. It brings new ideas. It brings people maybe with new skills. They're not always unskilled. And we've relied on farm workers for the rest of for most of our lives without realizing it. I used to go down to South Jersey to tell farm workers there. Rights in Jersey, and they largely, many cases, they were immigrants that came in seasonal. We provided education. We offered them ideas in New Jersey. We had a decision called the Judge Ritchie decision, where they could go to school, they could change their lives in Sussex County. And there's problems in the area, but in Newton, Hispanics have adopted greatly. They have stores. Spanish food has become popular. It just give people a chance. I feel like John Lennon. what we are saying is give peace a chance. Maybe that's what we have to do too.
Well, we have to, and we're the get of immigrants also. And I remember in my family, hearing the stories of when my grandparents first came to this. A country when my mom came to the country and her brothers and sisters. And, there was a procedure in place then, and there were steps. And after a number of years, you took a test and you became a citizen. So you knew the basic civic stuff and you'd established yourself in your place in our country by then. And it wasn't easy. Like for Greeks, the Klan was one of our nemeses as we tried settling here, like it was with the Italian people, who also came from the Mediterranean. We were considered dusky.
Rob, I'm half Italian, and I remember, you know, they all came in mass from Italy, and they wound up living in Palisade Park. Today, that's heavily Korean, and there's some other groups in there. I grew up in that Catholic church in Palisade Park, where at one time the really cool priest and all, he spoke Italian. He came over with my grandfather and that. And you're right, in the Irish, I've had this argument with the Irish in my family. They're very ultra conservatives. And I said to them, I said, the Navajo are starving and they're dying out west. You guys, you're so conservative, you forgot that when the Irish came to America and went west, it was the Navajo that fed them. Now, they don't seem to realize that in the U.S. anymore.
No.
You know, they're just bantering about other groups. And Indians, Native Americans, were always near the bottom in life expectancy. I mean, it was a five-year difference, which might have been narrowed with African Americans. But the Indians were around 48 or something, you know, when we were 65 or 70. And actually, our life, Caucasian life expectancy is decreased somewhat. But I brought that up to him. And, you know, in this period, the Navajo out west are taking a beating. People drive by and, you know, they want to stop it. The virus has spread like crazy. So I know in Dublin and places like that, they remember. And they're sending stuff back to the Navajo. I don't know how much, but I don't know. I don't doubt that these people did anything. They want to pat themselves. They're ultra conservatives. They forget where they came from. And, you know, that's not the, I'm not antagonizing any Irish people because they're good Irish people. They're good Italians. And I'm part Welsh.
They're good people. And then there are people whose intentions are not always so good. But it's not isolated to any one particular group of people. That seems to be true of humanity generally.
Well, you know, it's even in, China, there's people in there that are abused. The president actually came to their defense, this president, Trump. But, yeah, this is all over the world. People get killed or beat up for who they are, and it's not right. That was stuff I don't know if you realized it, but, Biden's talking about expanding things and doing things. But there's a thing, and I'll try to send it to you. Actually, okay. The people that he's appointed to the cabinet, many of them, that advise him, they want a different kind of defense policy. They want it for the middle class because the middle class pays the taxes. Some of the things we're going to scale down and some of the wars that we got into, because you and I and many people that we know got to be tired of wars. We've been in war after war after war. We got sucked into Vietnam, which was made up. There were lies there all along. We could have had peace with the Viet Cong. I don't want to. Many of my friends died in Vietnam or were wounded, and their names are on statues in our towns. But it just went on and on. And we need to go a different route. We can't fight every war, and we need alliances. People don't understand that we need alliances. The Chinese just made a deal. Trump killed our trade program. We were with 15 other nations, three or four Latin American nations, New Zealand, a couple of other nations, Japan, Korea. Well, we quit it. China just took that over. They eliminated. They are doing trade with China, with Latin America anyway. They're in their bases. But he had a lack of common sense on foreign policy. And they are scooping up this. Australia is now a member. New Zealand's now a member. Who would have ever thought Japan would do join China in a trading system? But Japan has China making parts for their cars. They're going to steal that technology, which they did to us. Vietnam, which was looking towards the United States for an alliance. you know, they're a member of this thing. Thailand, we blink, we don't know what's going on in the world. And I don't want to see wars. You know, one of the things that just came out recently, and it hasn't made the American press, but in Alaska, the fishermen, the Coast Guard, the Russians are flying planes into Alaskan airspace. They're running ships into fishing boats. It doesn't seem to make the news. Oh, and by the way, one good news, the North Star is now being seen. So it hasn't been seen in 800 years. So look for
that?
The North Star. It's the Star of Bethlehem. So,
oh, wow.
800 years. It hasn't been seen.
That's going to have
to be your horizon for it.
That's going to have to be a to be continued. We've reached the end of today's conversation. Thank you, Bill. I always enjoy speaking with you. You have a very wide and informed perspective, and I really enjoyed our conversation. How can people get in contact with you and follow your op-eds and your magazine articles and all the stuff you do?
Well, I post them. They can get me on LinkedIn if it's a more professional character thing. I do help people. I get some small coinage, but I don't charge it. It comes from either Harvard Business Review or maybe LinkedIn. For startups and things like that, information on where the economy is going, maybe I have some of that. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. It's Billy Weig. B-I-L-L-Y-W-E-I-G. There's also a guy named William Waitman. That's another, my name is too common. It must be like Smith in Wales. But if they can, Facebook, my email, God, I'm going to give a regular email now. It's Waitman, W-E-I-G-H-T-M-A-N, Bill, B-I-L-L, at yahoo.com. And I will be on the ballot. I hope to. I'm going to come home and campaign, and I've got some people that are going to help me. So I'm going to
give
them my best.
And you definitely have a platform here. So thanks again. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Give my love to Hildy and your family, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Hercules, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I've been reading all your posts, too.
Oh, thank you. And thanks to everybody who joined us from home, whether you're listening to us live or plan on tuning in later on and listening on demand. This is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and the same to you and your families in terms of having a wonderful holiday and a blessed new year. We're going to close with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley. Virginia was kind enough to let us use her music, and now she's won lots of awards for it. And so it's a pleasure and a joy to share them here.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it. Dream till it's real.